Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our body, mind, and spirit. But we're going to talk about the body today and the intricacies and what we need to stay healthy, alive, vital. And that is why I am talking to my good friend, who I haven't talked to in a long time, Anne Louise Gettleman. She is the first lady of nutrition and actually my first, one of my early influences about what we should eat, what we should put in our body and what we shouldn't. Well, welcome to the show, Anne Louise.
It's a pleasure to be with you, my good friend.
It's been what? Is it been like 22 years since we've reconnected last?
I don't know. I just remember the last time I was in New York and you put some acupuncture needles all over my feet. We were having a wonderful lunch. I think I was going to be meeting Dr. Atkins in the city. We've go back quite a long time.
Yes, I was. Well, I met you in Santa Fe. We're both living in Santa Fe. I was studying acupuncture and you were doing that amazing research and working with your mentor, Dr. Hazel Parcell.
Yes, and if you'll remember, you were also the videographer of our 40th birthday party for my husband, James Templeton, and you really videoed the entire procedure there, the entire program, the entire party, and we saw her at the age of 104 giving a speech, you know, that she had memorized. She was absolutely incredible. I have all that on tape.
Oh, good. No, James is a great guy. Give James my love. Hazel Parcell, well, let's start there. I mean, we can get into your recent book, which is called Eat Fat, Lose Weight, which I want everyone to order, at Kindle on Amazon. But, let's talk about, you know, your history a little bit, including that amazing woman, Hazel Parcell. Okay. Do you want to catch people up a little bit on who you are, where you've been?
Yeah, where I've come from, I've kind of been in both worlds. I guess I've had the best of both worlds, and I've been very blessed that way, Alan. I've had a very clinical training. I am a graduate of Connecticut College. I have a bachelor's degree in English, and then I went on for a nutrition degree from Columbia University, Teachers College to be exact. I'm a CNS, Certified Nutrition Specialist in Nutrition, have a PhD in Holistic Nutrition, and then have the pleasure and honor of studying with a woman who's not very well known, but was an extremely, extremely important influence in the whole world of alternative health. And her name was Hazel Parcell, who passed from us at the ripe old age of 106 years young, if you can believe it, with all of her faculties intact.
She was amazing.
I studied with her. She was amazing, and you know her because she was at that party that you had videographed so many years ago.
How did you find Hazel Parcell?
Well, that was a kind of a miracle in and of itself. Before I went to Columbia, when I was kind of searching way back in the 70s, I learned of a class that she was giving, which was promoted as the 5 days that would change your life. There was a little advertisement in Let's Live magazine at that point. And so I traveled to Albuquerque, New Mexico to sit at the feet of the master and learned all the secrets of scientific nutrition that only Hazel Parcell was teaching in those days. She taught us to use energy medicine principles to figure out the underlying causes of disease in people that were not getting well. And I learned about parasites, Alan, at that point, a topic that you and I both are very, very aware of.
You became the expert. Guess What Came to Dinner is one of my favorite, and it's one of the most important books out there about parasites and how to diagnose and get rid of them. It's an amazing feat that you've done there. So, yes.
Well, it was, you know, it's all because of that class that I took way back when in 1974. And this woman, I think she was about 84 years young at that point, was holding court and was talking about the underlying causes of problems and saying that 8 out of 10 of us in that class, there must have been about 25 of us, were harboring one or more uninvited invaders. And she said it was one of the reasons people couldn't lose weight or couldn't gain weight, depending upon what they were carrying around in their guts. So we all went on her 8-day milk diet in those days and got rid of all kinds of things that were coming out of us. And quite frankly, this woman changed my life. She told me about mercury, mercury fillings, and this was way back in 1974. She spoke about the dangers of radiation before there was the Chernobyl or even Fukushima. She was measuring radiation in the snow in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Can you believe it?
And she also discovered how to detox from radiation using baking soda, right?
You remember we were all doing
yes,
salt and soda baths in those days, or drinking a quart of water with a couple of teaspoons of baking soda and sea salt. And for good measure, we put in a little bit of cream of tartar, which was a blood cleanser. And all of that was because she worked with those original scientists with the bomb, you know, in the 1945
in Los Alamos. Oh, yes. Oh, well, I think we need it more than ever, because the Fukushima radiation is just engulfing the planet, and it's getting worse. And it's still happening. It's still ongoing. So
you're so right. And people are, and you know, it is kind of the, I don't know, I consider it the invisible toxin that nobody's talking about. We're so aware of gluten and GMOs and sugar and so forth. But these things really are invisible, and they're very penetrating. They're around for thousands and thousands of years. And that's why when it rains or snows, I find people get very sick in this day and time. They think it may be a virus or something like perhaps the flu. But quite frankly, Dr. Parcells, way back then, many, many decades ago, identified these kinds of illnesses as a type of radiation sickness and taught us that whenever you were feeling this way, you hopped into a bath of a pound of baking soda and a pound of sea salt. And you stayed in the bath for at least 20 to 30 minutes until the water cooled. And lo and behold, all of that acidity seemed to be neutralized and you felt better right away. So all of the tricks that I learned way back when, so many years ago, I still put into great effect today. Because today, you know, you're so right. We need those little tricks of the trade now, today, more than ever.
Well, it's so valuable. I think we need to just bring out a new book on the radiation toxicity and talking about Parcells' wisdom and what she discovered. But, you know, the amazing thing about Hazel Parcells, and she told me her life story, I think it's on tape somewhere, is she had some incurable illness, or no one ever expected her to live to 106. Actually, they expected her to die really young. And can you tell that story about her life? Because I think it's an amazing story.
She was really amazing. She was a cowgirl, number one, and grew up in Glen Springs, Colorado. And she remembers stories where Teddy Roosevelt came by with his Rough Riders. I mean, she would tell these stories in, you know, this little classroom in Albuquerque, and my mouth was open. It was just a jaw dropper. But she became ill in her 30s and her early 40s, and I think she had tuberculosis, to be honest with you. Went into the hospital. I guess she never expected to pull out, and somehow or another woke up after an operation, and she just healed herself of the tuberculosis. And she did that with eating a tremendous amount of spinach. I mean, I remember her talking about this spinach diet that she went on, and then studied everything she could in those days, way back when there was nothing about nutrition written, but she found her way to some of the older texts about herbs and vitamins and minerals, and worked with Royal Lee, who was of Standard Process fame, and then studied all these things, put it together in the Parcells system of healing, and became a very world-renowned healer, where people from all over the world would be coming to her for all kinds of incurable illnesses. She originally worked with William Donald Kelly and cured him of pancreatic cancer, was my understanding. So she saw many of the notable luminaries of the day, and the FBI would even contact her to find missing people because she had certain abilities using her energy medicine skills. She was extraordinary, I think, for almost every single day, Alan.
Wow. Well, she also taught people like Hannah Kruger, who people think is the godmother of, you know, natural remedies. But she was her teacher, so, you know.
She was the teacher's teacher. Totally extraordinary. She also did a lot of work in those days with color therapy. to study with the Dr. Kohler in Germany, and then made all of us look through these, you know, little reflective stones that could pick up all the colors of the rainbow. So they were prisms, actually, that she had made because she felt that each and every one of your energy systems, each of your chakras, was energized by certain colors that were also coordinated with certain minerals. So she had a lot of natural healing therapies and was a big believer in homeopathy, a big believer in radionics, a big believer in bathing for health, and detox. And a lot of the detox work that I did, you know, after my learning with her is really based upon some of the things that she opened my eyes up to, you know, as a little girl from West Hartford, Connecticut, that journeyed to the Southwest and learned, as I said, from the feet of the master.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about in this first part of this program, because here you were, you got a pretty standard nutritional, probably education, proteins, fats, carbohydrate, and then you meet this master who's totally off the charts. I mean, what was that like? What was the paradigm shift or the shift in thinking when you went from a pretty traditional way of understanding nutrition to meeting someone like Hazel Parcell?
Well, you know, at that point, and this was 1974, I had not been to a traditional college for nutrition. I had merely been doing a tremendous amount of reading, and I was a real big fan of Adele Davis in those days because, quite honestly, Alan, there was nobody else to read. So I was a little, you know, a little out there myself way back when. So meeting Dr. Parcells was almost finding, you know, a kindred spirit, so to speak, and it was just an awe-inspiring experience. And I had said to her, I said, "Doctor, what can I do with myself? I want to heal people the way you do." And she said, "Go back to school and get a traditional education, and then people will respect what you have to say more so because you'll have come over to the more alternative side." And that's when I went back to school. I went to the New York Institute of Dietetics to get all of my undergraduate classes in anatomy and biology and so forth, which I hadn't had as an English major at Connecticut College, and then was accepted into a program at Teachers College, Columbia University. So it was because of her that I went back to school and got a very traditional and sound education and then became as an alternative health writer.
Right. But, you know, the other great thing about you is that you use yourself as a guinea pig. You know, you work on yourself, which is a great thing, you know?
Well, you have to in this day and time. You know, I find that I was blessed with a strong will and a fairly strong mind, so to speak. In other words, you know, a lot of mental grit. But I have a very sensitive body, and as strong as my will might be, that's as sensitive as this body is. So as we became, you know, a country that became more toxic with so much more radiation and so much more nuclear waste and now the electro pollution from all the Wi-Fi that we're exposed to, you know, my system reacts. I mean, I get messages and signals. So I had to find greater ways to nourish myself and then detoxify. And all of that I initially learned, you know, with her. So I had a very sound upbringing in that regard. And nobody but nobody was ever talking about detoxification or the liver or the lymph. And she was, and had a lot of secrets that I was able to then explore, look into the traditional as well as the alternative methods, and then finding things in the literature which I could then write about using, you know, double-blind studies. But I kind of knew what I was looking for because of all the information that I was learning from her. She was pretty extraordinary in her ability to detect and identify underlying causes. And she said in most people that it was either a heavy metal issue that was the problem or an infection, maybe from a bacteria or a virus. She also identified parasites as a major underlying cause of certain types of cancer, so to speak, and colitis. And then she also spoke about the fungal and mold connection. She pretty much had it covered over 40 years ago.
Well, and so you've taken that model, and now you've written, what, like 25 or 30 books? 30 books?
I mean, yeah, 30 books. 30 books because she certainly started my quest for learning, my love of learning, and figuring out that there were a lot of underlying causes that we haven't identified. And now we know that we're treating those underlying causes through the whole concept of functional and integrative medicine, you know, which I'm very gratified about. There are now double-blind placebo-controlled tests that you can do in a laboratory that will give you some of these indicators of these underlying causes. And it's just becoming a little bit more convoluted because there's so many underlying causes. There's so many toxins out there that our body was never really developed to cleanse. So you really have to support your liver, your gallbladder, your bile, your kidneys, and making sure that you're eliminating on a daily basis. So it becomes a 24/7 job.
I know. There's so much that you've taken her work and gone even further with it. And there's so much more than just basic nutrition is what I was saying before, because these underlying causes and the radiation and the electromagnetic fields, you know, the EMFs, is that what they're called? You know,
yeah.
In your book, Zapped, you know, I mean, how do you protect yourself from electronic pollution? What's
that's the big question of the hour. I don't really use a cell phone the way the whole world does.
I use a landline.
I'm one of the dinosaurs, I guess, out there. And when I do use a cell phone because I travel, then I have a special case that I use on that cell phone. It's either a Palm case, depending upon which phone I'm using, or another one, which is called the Crusader Protective case. And then I also have very special sacred geometry diodes that I have just purchased from the Biosyntony system of healing. So hopefully that will protect me to some good measure. And you know, the other problem is that we have these smart meters that are on homes these days, which are making a lot of people sick. So I've tried to cover up my own smart meter, which we have in Idaho, where you cannot opt out of those. And I also ground myself as much as possible by going barefoot, you know, on some wonderful clean grass. So I do whatever I can, and it becomes, as I say, a 24/7 task in this day and time because you're so inundated with chemical soup, chemical and electronic and Wi-Fi soup, I like to call it.
I mean, is Wi-Fi really bad? I mean, I understand cell phones because you're putting them to your head, but how... dangerous, let's say, is Wi-Fi, you know,
Well, let's just put it this way. The thing about it is that we're just inundated with 24/7, and some people are more sensitive than others. I would say some people are more sensitive to electricity than others. Some people are allergic to gluten, others are not. So I think it depends upon the system. The stronger your adrenals are and your ability to withstand stress and cortisol surges and fluctuations, the better you're able to withstand all this. The idea here is to try to make sure that at least in your home, you've got one room that's a healing haven that does not have any electronics or Wi-Fi, and that you're unplugged at night so that your body can have a chance to regenerate. Because too much of the Wi-Fi, too much radio frequency can actually neutralize melatonin, and that will affect your ability to sleep through the night and regenerate your system. So you want to just unplug as much as you can, at least in one room, which would be the bedroom, and then maybe take a day a week to do a kind of a digital diet where you're not really involved with your phone, with your iPad, or with any other kind of Wi-Fi device. So, yeah, it's going to become more and more important the more that we learn.
A digital diet. Is that what you called it?
Yes, a digital detox diet. Yes, indeed.
That's great. And that's all in your book, Zapped, right? You lay this all out. And Zapped.
We lay it out in Zapped, and I'll tell you, the whole concept now of electropollution being toxic, just the way heavy metals and parasites and GMO and gluten are, is becoming something that is being almost a mantle that some of these celebrities are taking upon themselves. We were featured just in a post that was posted on Gwyneth Paltrow's website, Goop. And that has given us a lot of exposure to a market that we may not have reached because, you know, there are a whole group of millennials out there that are very, very tethered to their technology and can't imagine life without it. The concept of saying that your cell phone may be toxic, I think, is as alien as saying that your shoes are killing you. But the truth is that unmitigated use of all of these devices has a biological, very negative biological effect, not just on your brain, but on any area that you're touching. So you've got to keep these devices off of your person. Don't have your laptop on your lap. Don't carry your cell phone in your back pocket or in your bra. It can affect your hips. It can affect bones. It can affect all kinds of development of nasty cells. And so the less exposure you have, the better.
So try not to touch your cell phone is what you're saying.
As much as possible. Texting certainly is better than putting this little microwave oven up to your head. But, you know, the concept here is less is more. And so I'll just leave you with that little tidbit.
No, that's good. It's good. You know, I do remember getting back to Hazel Parcell a little bit. She did recommend using microwaves for getting rid of the parasites in the food, right? Isn't that why she talked about that?
Well, not quite, because what learned is that when people use the microwave oven to cook their fish, it doesn't kill any of the little invaders or something, because fish can harbor all kinds of nasty items, nasty critters. But she was a big believer in the microwave oven. She was in those days. I that's one of the only areas I probably would have to deflect from and disagree with her about, because we find that with microwave food, you're actually affecting the enzymes and some of the D vitamins. So I can't say that I think that's the healthiest way to go.
Right. No. I was like a little not sure about that advice either, because I think, you know, let's get to, it's just nice to hear your voice. It's been a long, long time. And I forgot how knowledgeable you were about everything, because the underlying cause is what we need to get to if we're really going to be healthy, if we're really going to really access the nutrition that we need day to day. And you know what happens a lot is, like, seems like people are not absorbing the food. Could that be because of the parasites in the gut, that people aren't absorbing the nutrients in the food?
There's so much that's going on these days. There's a problem with absorption. Some of it may be because you don't have enough hydrochloric acid. We see a great deal of deficiency in HCl, which is so very important. If you're deficient in iodine or salt or even zinc, then you're not making enough hydrochloric acid. If you are a blood type A, then genetically you have a predisposition to not making enough HCl. That would be my first real concern, is your HCl levels. And then parasites can be affecting this, from your tapeworms to your ascaris to your amoeba to your giardia, which we're finding extremely prevalent when we do our testing. That's an issue. And now there's the SIBO that's out there, the SIBO, the small intestine bacteria overgrowth, where people are harboring problems in their small intestine because of food poisoning or an overdose of too many antibiotics. So there's all kinds of conditions we have to be concerned about.
Right. And you're still doing testing, you and James, right?
We do it through UniKey Health. Yup, unikeyhealth.com. There's a lot of self-health testing. And it's really helpful, Alan, because people, number one, don't know what's going on. So we do stool testing, which will identify the parasites and the bacteria and your level of probiotics. That's very helpful. Heavy metals through the tissue mineral analysis in the hair. And then some of your hormones with a salivary hormone test that will test for six different hormones. Yeah, so we do quite a lot of that for people, and it's helpful because they don't need to do this in the privacy of any doctor's office. They can do it in the privacy of their own homes, and then they'll get a full readout from the lab or from us.
And then you tell them, and you also have the products that they could use to get rid of what's going on in their gut, right?
We do, or we'll direct them to, you know, a local health food store and give them the name of a product that we know from the research has been clinically found to be specific for whatever whatever we've identified. And there's a great body of research right now that is very, very helpful in terms of some of these underlying parasites and what you really need to do to get rid of them.
What if you have candida? I think I might have a little. What do you do for candida flush?
Well, you've got to reduce. This is what I really believe with candida. Mm-hmm. Number one, there seems to be a connection with mercury. So I would stop eating a lot of foods that are high in mercury, whether that's a daily bit of seaweed that you're taking, too much fish, too much sushi. And a lot of fruit is not good for candida. Candida feeds on sugar. There's no question about it. So we want to just reduce its feeding source and also take a really good probiotic that will identify and kill and neutralize any kind of yeast overgrowth in the small intestine and the large intestine.
What's a good probiotic? You can mention it if you want to.
I like Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. I've represented him for many years, but only did that because I think it's one of the very best on the market. That's a good one. There's some in the health food store that I find are also helpful for people. There's a Multidophilus that I think actually works pretty well. And then, of course, we have one which is a powdered probiotic that you can put right in your smoothie. It's called Floraquin. So there are different probiotics for different issues and different ages and stages of life. So it's a really burgeoning field.
I see. But so a good probiotic, and of course, stopping wheat, because I think wheat is a really not toxic, but I know I have a wheat allergy, especially to. There's no real wheat out there anyway. It seems like it's all GMO and hybridized.
Oh, I know. But I'm stopping rice myself because there's just a lot of research about how toxic rice is with the high arsenic values, especially
in brown rice. I heard about arsenic in rice. Yes.
I know. And so this year, you know, for my New Year's resolution, I decided I would go completely grain-free. So the only thing that I will ever cheat on is non-GMO, although that's kind of redundant because most popcorn is non-GMO. I adore popcorn with a little bit of coconut oil and a little bit of sea salt.
Right. So you think coconut, I heard there were parts of coconut oil that was undigestible. Have you heard that?
No, but I mean, coconut oil or a little bit of flaxseed oil, whatever, you know, oil is, because you have the right kind of fat to be healthy in this day and age. So I like either the flaxseed oil, a high lignin flaxseed oil. I think that the coconut oil is very stable. I think a unrefined coconut oil would be lovely. And some people even use a little bit of the flavored fish oil, a great way to get your EPA and your DHA.
Right. But, you know, I did also see recently that you were into eggs. I love eggs. And you just put out an article about promoting eggs, the eating of eggs, right?
Well, there's some research that now suggests that having at least one or two eggs a day does nothing to elevate cholesterol, which, of course, we've known for years. So anybody that's given up eggs because they want to protect themselves against heart disease, you know, should feel very happy that they're now vindicated and they don't have to give up eggs. And I think it's a really wonderful food for so many people. It's a high source of antioxidants. They're antioxidants that are good for your eyes. And certainly good for your brain. So eggs are truly brain food. And I think that a lot more people need to use this as a very inexpensive source of protein, provided there's no allergy to eggs.
Right. But then if you're not eating grains, okay, you're eating eggs, but like I eat oatmeal, and I do agree that grains have been overrated a bit. And I think I've overeaten too many grains. And I think that's why the candida issue. But then what do you eat? I mean, what do you eat? I mean,
a lot of things. I'm a big eater. You don't remember from our days in New York, I'm a huge eater.
I know, but if you're
but if I you're love not eating eat. Grains. I adore eating. No, I eat everything but the grains. So you know, I'm here in Texas right now. I'm kind of on the run or on the road. And I have special energy bars that I have. They're called Epic Bars, and they're high-protein bars. They're actually almost like a beef jerky with organic beef. I eat those. I eat organic lamb bars, organic turkey bars. I need protein in the morning. I'm the kind, Alan, with my blood type, and I've written about blood type as well, that really needs protein to kind of get my get-up-and-go first thing in the morning. So So I will have a protein bar, or I'll have a smoothie with a pea and rice, which is non-GMO and no arsenic, by the way, and it's our Unikey vegan protein that I use, with a little bit of greens powder, a little bit of fruit, just a half a cup of berries, and maybe a little bit of oil, and I'll do that in the morning. I'll have a huge salad at lunch with either some, you know, wild-caught salmon or even some sardines, sometimes some turkey, sometimes some seafood that I know is clean, and a lot of stir fries at night. And then between meals, maybe a couple of tablespoons of almond butter or peanut butter. I adore peanut butter. I don't have a problem with it, and it's very satisfying because of the pantothenic acid.
Oh, because I prefer almond butter better, sometimes even cashew butter. Peanuts, I do have a little problem digesting for some reason.
And many people do, but I can't live without popcorn and peanut butter. They're my only two little cheats in life, and I adore them.
Well, that's good. They're not really cheats because they're, you know, I'm sure you eat very healthy in general.
They're organic. Not hydrogenated, might I ask.
What's the names of those lamb bars, those beef jerky type bars that you're,
They're called Epic Bars. I get them online. Epic, E-P-I-C, Epic Bars.
Wow, that sounds great. Well, because that would be great in the morning, but let's talk about your latest book, Eat Fat, Lose Weight, that people can get online on Amazon as a Kindle download, right?
It's a Kindle download, which you can actually download to any device, yes. And Eat Fat, Lose Weight, Alan, was the name of a book that I did over 10 years ago. And I thought it was time to update the book because fat has made such a big comeback these days, and we know it's the perfect food for the brain, for the heart, for the eyes, for the joints, for the skin, hair, and nails, for your appetite, for your sex hormones, and for your metabolism. So I wrote that book for people that have grown up in the fat-free era and are still afraid to eat fat, and I tell them they can eat fat and lose weight, but they must stop most of their sugar because they'll get fat with sugar. So fat is back, and fat has kind of been demonized unfairly over the years. I think it's really sugar and grains and too much fruit, quite frankly, that we have to be much more careful of.
But what kind of fat? Because not all fats are created equal, you know.
How true that is. Well, it's the stable fat. So in that regard, we're talking about pastured butter, you know, the raw butter from pastured animals. We like butter. We like ghee. I personally love macadamia nut oil. It's got a very high smoking point, as does avocado oil. Love olive oil. It has to be 100%, of course, virgin olive oil. I adore. I'm a big believer also in some of the newer fats from the omega-7 family, which is where the macadamias come into play. I like oils that are easily digested, and that's where coconut oil for many people comes into play, because it doesn't really go through the liver per se. It's digested a little bit more simply because of their medium-chain triglycerides. So that's a very good oil for people.
Well, you know, people say safflower oil is very good for the eyes. You know, safflower oil used to be called vitamin F, and now it's just called safflower oil. Have you heard about
you
that?
You remember that? Yeah, I wrote about it in one of my books, of course. But the problem with safflower oil is that if it can't transform into one of its usable essential fatty acids, which is known as GLA, then it's not really good for a lot of people that can't make that transference. So I like to use the botanical GLA, which is from borage oil or evening primrose oil or black currant seed oil, which then allows you to lose weight very easily, is very good for the skin, and is also a wonderful food for hangovers, by the way. People use a lot of evening primrose oil to get over, a night out with a little too many spirits, so to speak.
And also for women, PMS.
It's the best food for PMS. I mean, it is the answer to PMS. PMS and perimenopause and menopause and morning stiffness, and also very good for psoriasis, by the way. GLA, there have been so many studies where 1 to 3 grams of GLA will get rid of psoriasis and eczema, whereby nothing else will touch it.
Wow. But, you know, you mentioned olive oil, and I used to love olive oil. And then I noticed that most of the olive oil I was getting tasted a little rancid. It was like, you know, because it's so prolific, olive oil. They can't all be great, you know. What do you say about olive oil? How do you test your olive oil?
Well, I don't. I have people that I trust that actually have done the testing, because you know that olive oil is usually cut these days. If you get it from Italy, at least, apparently the mafia has gotten their hooks into olive oil. And it can be cut with sunflower seed oil, and it can be cut with food coloring. So there are just a couple of brands. I think I write about them in Eat Fat, Lose Weight that I really trust and that I use for my salad dressing. And the way that you know that it's really the right oil is that it has that little kick as it goes down your throat. There's almost this little tickle or little burning, and you know it's the real stuff. So these brands are the ones that I really go to town with, or a really good brand that's qualified or certified, you know, in California. And we know that it's 100% virgin olive oil and not cut with canola or any of this ridiculous sunflower seed oil.
I mean, canola is awful anyway, right? I mean, and
we don't like canola. We don't like canola, corn oil, or soybean oil.
It's awful. They tell people should never have any of that stuff, should they?
Well, a lot of it is GMO at this point in time, and it's refined. It's pressed with all kinds of chemicals. Yes, not good for you. You know, and these margarines that are on the market that are now trans fat free are usually made with these nasty other oils, and so that's not good either. You got to go back to, you know, real butter or a little bit of ghee, the clarified butter, and even some coconut oil is very good in terms of using it as a replacement for margarine. There are just so many things that we could do that are so helpful for us. It just boggles my mind that we've been told for so many years that fat is the enemy and carbohydrates are the, you know, our savior, but it's really the opposite way around. It's the fat to the perfect fuel, and carbohydrates, at least too many of the wrong kind, are very unhealthy and are really the root cause of so much heart disease, diabetes, and even cancer, because cancer is fed with sugar, and that comes from carbohydrates.
Well, are they still teaching that at traditional nutrition schools, that, you know, the carbohydrates are good and the fats are bad? Or are they
I think little by little things are changing, and I'm very grateful for that. I mean, you take a look at the USDA new food rules for 2015, 2016. I mean, things have been shifting and changing little by little, and there are a lot of very enlightened doctors out there that are really preaching, you know, all of this, the new rules of nutrition, what I'd like to call the new rules of nutrition. Certainly, there are topics that I've been writing about for years, but then again, I had a head start because I studied with Dr. Parcell so many moons ago.
Yeah, no, I know, and she was still, her ideas are still revolutionary. You know, I met this nutritionist. I think you would like her, Kat James. You know Kat James?
She's a lovely gal. Yes, indeed.
She talks about leptin, and she agrees with a lot of what you're saying. And people who are eating carbohydrates, she says, are basically on a starvation diet. You know, their body thinks they're starving because that's what people would eat if there was no other food. They would eat grains. So she says it's all about producing the leptin. I think that's what they're calling leptin. So you know when you're satisfied. You can only get that with fats and proteins, I think is what she says. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, it's the hunger hormone. I write about it in Eat Fat, Lose Weight, and that's very true. And one of the ways that you kind of balance your leptin is through the right kind of oils and fats. So every meal and every snack, you have to have a little fat, whether it's a handful of almonds or walnuts that you toss in your salad or a little bit of avocado. Fat is really where it's at, and it provides satiety. It gives you at least 3 to 4 hours of real appetite satisfaction. There's no other macronutrient that can do that other than fat.
So you would have like butter in the morning with, you wouldn't eat bread, but you would put butter on what in the morning for like a fat in the morning? What would you?
What would I do in the morning if I were having, my leftover dinner in the morning, which might be a little bit of squash or sweet potato or yam, because I'll have starchy veggies instead of grain starches, then I'll put a little butter on that. Yeah, indeed I will.
You know, I have a hard time with sweet potatoes and yams, but I do love squash. Have you heard?
When the next time you come over to my house, we'll make you some squash fritters.
Okay, I'm coming out to Idaho. You're in Idaho, or where are you, Montana?
God only knows these days. I'm actually in Texas. I'm in the great state of Texas, but you'll come out and visit maybe this summer to Idaho.
I would. I might. Who knows? I'd love to see you and James. It's been a long, long time. But I wonder if some people, I should put out the number if people have any. Do you want to take some questions? Because I could just go on and on because we can talk more about your whole smart fats, reset fat cells to slim. But I can also see if there's questions. You want to take a question
sure,
or something?
Of course. I'd love to.
Okay, well, if anyone is interested in listening and would like to talk to Ann Louise Gettleman, the First Lady of Nutrition, you can call the station at, let's see, what's the best number? Don, are you there? I think it's 888-429-5471. That's a call-in number, 888-429-5471. But I wanted to keep until we get some calls. So if you get some calls, let's see, just put it through Don. And if not, then tell me about this idea about resetting fat cells. What do you mean by resetting fat cells?
Well, the whole idea is this. It takes fat to burn fat because, interestingly enough, fat produces if you have the right kind of fat as a precursor, it will produce a tissue-like hormone known as prostaglandin that are able to trigger fat burning. But if you're eating too many starches, it will trigger the production of insulin, which is a fat-promoting hormone. So it's all about the hormonal aspects of fat. And you get the right hormones by taking the right precursors, which are fat in and of themselves. It's kind of like you need fat to turn this fat switch, turn the fat-burning switch on. Carbohydrates turn the fat-burning switch off and actually allow your body to deposit extra calories as fat. So, again, it all goes back to fat as being the most important macronutrient for satiety and weight loss and health and beauty.
Well, talk about insulin a little bit because that is a very confused, people don't know what to make about it. You have too much or too little or not, and insulin making. Yeah, give us a little background on that.
Well, here's the whole thing. It's my good friend, Dr. Atkins once said, who was really the man that brought insulin into the forefront and into the vernacular, it's a hormone. It's produced by the pancreas. And insulin is produced in response to sugar, all kinds of sugar, whether it's complex carbohydrates from grain or from too much fruit or from too much white sugar itself. And it's a fat-promoting hormone, so the more sugar that you eat, the more insulin you secrete, and it then can store away those extra calories as fat. So you want to make sure that there is just enough insulin and not too much, because then you get low blood sugar. If there's too much insulin that you start to secrete, and then you're going to start to eat more sugar to kind of satisfy that need for balancing the blood sugar in and of itself, and it's almost like a merry-go-round. So insulin makes your body fat. And protein, which allows for the production of another hormone known as glucagon, actually accesses the fat or energy for fat burning, I should say. So you want more protein and you want more fat. You don't want the sugar or the carbohydrates because you want to keep insulin very balanced. And another way to keep insulin low, quite honestly, is to take some apple cider vinegar throughout your meal because it blunts the absorption of carbohydrates. So apple cider vinegar is a wonderful kind of miracle diet food to keep yourself really balanced and to help your body to burn fat.
Oh, so if you've had a little bread or something that you know, a little carbohydrate, have some apple cider vinegar and that will cut it, huh?
2 tablespoons 3 times a day. Yeah, it's an old dietary secret, but it works wonders and it's well documented in the scientific literature.
Oh, that is a great tip. Thank you. But what about going back to insulin, diabetics, hypoglycemic, what's happening with those people?
Well, the reality is that sometimes you become insensitive to the insulin, and so you become insulin insensitive. And that means that what's going on is that you begin to, your body can't really metabolize the insulin very much better. So it starts to, or it can't metabolize it at all, and it starts to stockpile in your system, and you start just piling on weight. So that's very important to kind of sensitize your receptors, and you can do that with certain minerals like chromium and zinc. So that's what you want to do with the insulin. You know, not too much and not too little and not too much, kind of using the Goldilocks principle. You just want to keep it very well balanced, and you do that with the right kind of diet, the right kind of minerals, and the right kind of exercise.
Right, so you could, in a way, reverse diabetes that way, huh? You think?
Well, some people can if it doesn't get to a certain extent. Some people can actually do that just by following the right kind of low insulin or low glycemic diet and using a little bit more zinc, a little bit more chromium, which is a wonderful blood sugar lowering mineral, and the apple cider vinegar that we just talked about, which is a wonderful tip for all of your listeners.
That is a great tip. But let me ask you a serious question that no one ever talks about is that when people are fat, you know, they're carrying this weight around and you know, some people are huge. I mean, and what is it that's fat? What is, they're not eating all that fat. It's the sugar, but what's happening physiologically in the body and what is that fat tissue made out of? You know what I'm asking? What's going on there?
Well, interestingly enough, a lot of that fat becomes very inflammatory, so they're at risk for all kinds of diseases, whether it's heart disease, whether it's stroke, whether it's diabetes. And so what you want to be able to do is you want to reduce the flames of inflammation, you know, get the fire out, so to speak. And that's why you've got to have foods that are anti-inflammatory, including the right kind of fats. It's where your fish oil and your GLA come in very handy. They're tremendously anti-inflammatory. It's where your spices like turmeric and cayenne and mustard come into play as well. And so you want more protein and more fat, and you've got to get rid of the sugar, you know, in any case. And that's where going on a strict program where just having fat and protein can work for many people, Alan. A lot of people that are severely overweight are doing these programs similar to my Eat Fat, Lose Weight program, but it's called a ketogenic program where they're just having fat and protein because they can't absorb the sugar at all at this point. You know, they become totally insensitive to the insulin that's produced by the sugar. So fat and protein will allow you to lose weight, and that's why a lot of people are going on these paleo-style diets because they're losing weight very easily by just reducing all of their sugar. So that means no grains, virtually no dairy products, and then very, very little fruit because fruit can be very high in fructose, which is a real problem if, in fact, you need to lose weight.
Well, you should be an advisor on that television show, The Biggest Loser. Do you watch that show?
Yeah, once in a while I do. Yeah, I admire those people. I mean, I think it's terrific that, you know, they're becoming motivated, they're becoming stabilized, and they're doing something beneficial for the rest of us by, you know, being a poster child for what happens when you get to be too overweight. I mean, it's such a risk factor for so many things, not just in terms of your health, but just in terms of your self-esteem.
Right. But when people have a little, even like a little belly there, and usually I guess when people get older, what is causing that? What is like that made of?
Well, you're talking about cortisol. It's fat. I mean, it's fat. It's ready-made energy just in case you're in a fight-or-flight situation. And that's why it isn't just insulin that will make you fat, but also being stressed out will make you fat because cortisol is another stress-promoting hormone, you know, that's secreted by the adrenals when you're under fight or flight, when you're under any stressful condition, whether it's emotional or physiological or psychological. So any of these conditions which are hormonally induced will make fat. So it's almost as if we're saying that the whole concept of eating is hormonal. It's your hormones that are making you overweight. Years ago, we used to poo-poo that idea. People would say, it's just my glands. But quite frankly, that is really what is going on in this day and age.
It is? So what would you say about that then? What would
Well, you've got to reduce your sources. If it's cortisol-induced and you're pretty thin all over, but you've got this little belly, we got to do everything we can to make sure that we get the cortisol under control. And that's where, you know, proper sleep comes into play. That's where certain stress reduction techniques come into play. That's where supporting your adrenals comes into play. And that's where I would also imagine that in terms of cortisol, that you take any kind of herb that acts adaptogenic to really control cortisol levels. It's where rhodiola is very important, or even ashwagandha for some people. So depending upon, you know, those are terrific herbs. They're adaptogenic herbs, and I think very, very highly of them.
Great. So you are, I guess you are always into herbs, but you're like promoting those even more now, right?
Especially for people with real stress-related conditions, because we see so many people with burned-out adrenals. It's like the issue of the 21st century. Yeah, they can't handle stress, and that's where the little belly fat comes into play, and that's where their inability to get well or all these autoimmune problems are happening. So, yeah, so whatever you can do to kind of mitigate the stress response, I think is very, very important.
Well, then let's look at the big picture. What is causing the stress? What is, like, do you see in your work a main cause of this kind of stress? What
is? I think it's juggling home and family in this day and age. There's like a hidden stress that you see with the Wi-Fi, and this is one of the areas that nobody's really identified except certain scientists in this arena of the electromagnetic frequencies. But when you're in the presence of any of these Wi-Fi gadgets, your body starts secreting stress hormones. So that really affects your cortisol levels. So you just have to, when I talk about de-plugging, you've got to get as much back to nature as possible with your feet on the ground so that you're grounded and you get all these electrons that are teeming, you know, in the Earth's surface, and you get them in your system and they act as natural anti-inflammatories. You have to do that because we're so drenched in all of these unnatural frequencies. And that's why so many people have mental disorders and stress conditions.
Oh, so that's a really great discovery. So you're saying that grounding helps alleviate some of the stress, like just putting your bare feet on some solid earth, that would help relieve some of the stress factors.
It does. It releases it. And for 20 minutes, it's about 20 minutes that it takes to make the whole circuit, the circuitry in your system. Yeah. You've got to get back to natural things, nature. Very, very important in terms of, again, mitigating all these unnatural stressful responses. We are bathed in an electromagnetic sea that's 100 million times more than what our ancestors grew up with. So, I mean, we're stressed morning, noon, and night, even when you're sleeping. That's why you should never sleep with your cell phone, might I say.
So you're saying, I mean, actually, you should write a book about this, too, because there's the obvious stress, which is like you're working and you're worried about money and your family and your job and your house. And then there's the unobvious stress factors that come from eating junk food, GMO, bad diet, Wi-Fi, no connection to nature, you know. And that's all toxifying who we are. So what do you think the best way to live? Would you say leave the city, get out, and just live in the country?
I think you have to make it a point as much as you can is to get out in nature, you know, whether it's a walk in the woods, whether it's hugging a tree, because you can ground yourself that way as well. Taking your shoes off as much as you can and just getting outside, or buying a grounding or an earthing device that you can. There are earthing wristbands that you can wear at night. I do that when I'm trying to really get a good night's sleep. I ground myself with a conductive wristband that you just plug into the grounding, you know, the electrical ground. I have earthing sheets that I use at night as well, which are helpful.
What are earthing sheets? What is that?
Well, there's, you seriously, you don't know? You who know everything in terms of your new realities, Alan Seinfeld, I'm surprised.
We have to get together more.
There's sheets that have these conductive little threads. They're silver threads. And you either ground them to the outside ground, you know, with a grounding rod, or you ground them to the electrical ground. And we have them in our house. We've been sleeping with them for 5 years.
And how do you sleep? Do you sleep much better?
I dream like crazy. You dream like you really go into a deep sleep. You do sleep better. You really do. It's amazing. So I'm a big believer in using those things.
Where can I get those? Because I love dreams and I love sleeping really well.
You get them on our website at unikeyhealth.com.
I will get them there. I did see a movie about grounding, and it seemed a little artificial, attaching these cords to something. I don't know. It seemed a little strange. You know what I mean?
Well, it is strange, but if you can't get outside because it's the middle of winter, you don't have a choice. That's why they're bringing the grounding energy inside to you.
Mm. So you connect these sheets that you sell on your website, unikey.com. You connect them to, is it a wire?
I'm just trying to remember. You hook them up to the electrical ground, that little, you know, in the electrical, the outlet there, that little third hole. You stick it in there.
Oh, you hook your sheets to that third hole and it just grounds you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, it's got a little wire that you hook on. Yeah, you do, and you feel much better. And it takes away inflammation. It helps to preserve your melatonin. It's pretty remarkable. They've done a lot of studies with this, so this is a very big movement in the country called grounding.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I did have heard about that. You know, I also heard cotton flannel sheets are also the best sheets to sleep in.
Well, I like anything natural. I don't disagree with you in that regard at all. I think it's very, very important. And that's true with cotton clothing as well. We don't like to wear so many synthetics because that seems to have an electrical energy to it, which is, you know, not supportive of real life.
You have to wash your cotton clothes because some of these cotton clothes are sprayed, you know, with junk to keep away moths and whatever dissolves it. So people have to be aware, even if it's natural, you know,
we wash everything before we wear them, and we try to wash them in a you know, a very healthy detergent that's, you know, biodegradable and so forth. Yeah, I mean, you just have to take responsibility for every area of your life in this day and age.
Well, no, but that's why your work is so important. It really, really is. It covers everything. You know, the seen and the unseen, what's going on inside of you that you may not be aware of, the parasites, the toxicity, the yeast and fungal. I mean, there's so much. You have to be like a full-time yogi just to...
Can keep yourself pretty. You know, you make yourself into an invincible fortress is what you really need to do. And you can do that with the right vitamins and minerals. You have to take supplements. I'm a real big believer. You can't get it in food these days. So you have to be really fortified as much as possible. And you just make sure that you're not exposed, you know, to any of these kind of infectious agents as much as possible. And that's really how you have to live your life. And so you just decide what's important. You ground yourself as much as possible. Eat really good foods. Take your supplements the way you should. Try to get in bed at a reasonable hour. And make sure that you're unplugging yourself as much as possible, at least once a week completely. And at night, make your and I keep saying this again for some of your listeners that may be coming in a little bit late, but I think it's really important that your bedroom is a healing haven. That's the time you regenerate and rejuvenate, so you don't want anything electrical or Wi-Fi. You certainly don't want your router in your bedroom.
Right. Some people have put this like aluminum metal sheets all around their bedroom to wall out any extraneous Wi-Fi. Have you heard about that?
I think it can be very helpful for some people. I have friends that do that, as a matter of fact, that are very hypersensitive.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it can be very helpful.
Wow. Well, so you just wrote this book about fats, which is a very important book because, I mean, it's a reissue of something you've been working on. But what else are you working on? What's like the latest on the scene? What should we look forward to?
I'm going to be updating something called How to Stay Young and Healthy in a Toxic World, and I'm going to be talking about all these elements that you and I have been talking about this evening in terms of keeping yourself healthy and healthy and whole and well-nourished in an increasingly toxic world, and extending your youth span. You know, people talk about extending their lifespan. I think you have to extend your youth span. And we're getting into our saging years, not necessarily our aging years, but our saging years. I want to write about stem cells. I've had experience with stem cells. I like the plasma-rich proteins that we're using, you know, for some of our tired joints. And I like a lot of the other issues that are not really being dealt with in terms of the regeneration of your hair, skin, and nails. You're using certain collagen. You know, all the things that we as a baby boomer generation have come to know and love to keep ourselves feeling good so that, that we're extending our period of living and not extending the period of dying. I think it's so important to extend that youth span. So that's kind of what's up at this point, with a lot more videos, mind you, that we're also working with, and some new products that we're introducing to the marketplace.
Well, I do think a whole You Think book would be great coming from you, you know.
Well, thank and you. Thank you, Mr. Alan Seinfeld. Thank you.
Well, thank you. But one more thing about aging and telomeres, and do you get into that whole thing when you talk about stem cells and telomeres?
Yes, I think that's important, and you can eat to preserve your telomeres. That's very helpful. Yes,
what can
the
we
whole gamut of it. And oh, and genealogical testing, you know, I've become very enamored of this whole process of being able to tap into your gene pool and see where the genetic glitches are so that you can override them in the new field of epigenetics. I'm very fascinated with that.
Yeah, I just interviewed Deepak Chopra about his book on epigenetics, Super Cells. Have you seen that book?
I haven't, but I'm going to read it now that you tell me about it.
Yes,
it's fascinating. That whole topic is fascinating to me.
It's called Super Genes. He just came out with that. And, of course, I've been a good friend of Joe Dispenza's for a long time, and Bruce Lipton, who both talk about the whole field of epigenetics.
They're so brilliant. They're such lights. They're wonderful. And, you know, yes. And I, of course, I highly regard you. I mean, you're in very good company.
Well, I try to get the, you know, the latest information, what is going to create our new realities. But you have a big piece, because I don't think anyone's gone as deep into nutrition that I've talked to than you. So I'm happy we're back in touch after so many years.
Too long. It's been too long.
But what foods can you eat to preserve your telomeres and regenerate your stem cells?
Well, you know something, there's an interesting herb that people use to regenerate the telomeres, and it's astragalus. I think you're familiar with astragalus.
It's kind a Chinese of like herb. I was studying that when we met in Santa Fe. I was studying Chinese herbs, yes.
Yeah, astragalus is a really big one. And there are amino acids that are also very important in terms of that. Arginine is one of them if you don't have virus. But L-arginine is another one that can extend the life of the telomeres. Vitamin C, vitamin E, the tocotrienols. There are a number of elements that are really very healthy for that. And more importantly, I think people should just find out what they may have in their genetic inheritance that could be upsetting their health. We see a lot of people with the inability to metabolize folic acid properly, and they need a methylated folic acid or a methylated vitamin B12, and I think that's a very important issue as well.
Mm. But you said if you have you should not take arginine if you have a virus? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, it feeds virus. Mm-hmm.
How do you people know if they, what kind of virus?
Well, if there are a lot of people that are that have a lot of the Epstein-Barr in this day and age, or any kind of the herpes virus, the herpes 6 virus, cytomegalovirus is a biggie. I would say shingles, you know, if you've got the shingles virus, or if you happen to be very partial to cold sores happen to be prevalent in your, your family.
So arginine will bring that out in the system if people have any of those?
That amino acid will, or foods that are high in arginine will, which are your grains and your nuts and your seeds. Yeah. So you just have to be careful. See, you just have to know yourself. You know, that's where the whole issue of just knowing your genetic inheritance and knowing your predispositions is so important, because one man's meat could be another man's poison. I truly believe that we're all very individual and that your body knows best. And that was a book I wrote, Your Body Knows Best.
Right. But it, no, I think it's really important because people just, I mean, it's important you said that because people will just say, just take arginine without telling the rest of the story. Well, if you have this, then maybe you shouldn't take arginine, and everybody's body's different. And of course, yes, we have to study where we came from. Like, what's our ancestry? What were they eating? What were our ancestors eating in the shtetls of Eastern Europe there? You know,
that's right. That's right. And that's where getting some of these genetic ancestral histories are important. There are many services out there. There's the 23andMe, which I really encourage people to look into. Another one called Fit Genes, which is out of Australia.
Mm. Well, thank you. So what can we leave people with besides everything you've just said?
Oh, let's see. What can we tell people? I would love them to take a peek at Eat Fat, Lose Weight. I think there's some really interesting, maybe potentially mind-blowing elements in there in terms of changing people's lifestyle and their diets. And I would also like to tell them that I think it's really important for them to understand that their bodies, you know, really behave under natural laws. And in so doing, they really need a very natural healing environment, so that they need to get back to nature as much as possible, or to make it a point to go on vacation as much as possible, where they can put their feet on the ground and ground some of that wonderful healing energy from the earth.
Yeah. Thank you. And people can find you at your website, right? And
they can find me at my website, annlouise.com, annlouise.com. Yes, indeed.
Right. And when did you become the first lady? Because when of nutrition, because that's
when
great.
When was I inaugurated? Maybe 20 years ago. I don't quite remember, but whoever inaugurated me, I guess the name has stuck. And so, kind of our little byline at this point.
It's great because, you know, when I met you, you weren't quite the first lady yet, but now you are.
This is what happens after all these years.
Well, it's great talking to you. Are you going to be in New York at all?
Well, if I am, I'm going to look you up for sure. I'm not certain right now. I've been spending more time in Florida and North Carolina, to be quite honest with you. But I want to get back to the Big Apple as soon as possible.
What's in North Carolina? Why are you there?
A brother.
Oh, your brother?
Yes, my brother is in North Carolina.
I talked to your brother once. Yeah, he was working with you for a while. But anyway, we won't get into all that. But Anne Louise is great. Thank you. And
well, thanks for having me. Thank you. It's a delight to be in touch with you again. I hope we don't lose contact.
Well, we won't. But and also, when you're in New York, we'll do a television show for my YouTube channel and for my I also have a show on Manhattan Cable, so it'd be great for people to see you that way, because you know this is your life, and you've really helped a lot of people. So thank you for being here and helping more of us.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. I will talk to you soon. Maybe I'll call you a little bit later. Say hello.
I hope so. Lots of love. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've been talking to Anne Louise Gittleman, a real source of knowledge for healing the body and making it whole and healthy. And so I recommend her books, her website. Her latest book, of course, is called Eat Fat, Lose Weight. You can get that on Amazon, on Kindle. And just look up any of her books. They're very important to maintain the health of the body. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening.